I went to a stag do on the weekend, and then the guy got too drunk on the train down. He had like 7 beers on the train down. Then we did like one thing, and then he passed out. And then we went to a pool and bowling alley and just sort of popped him up, I think, in the corner. I put some sunglasses on him, and it was kind of like Weekend at Bernie style, where you had this dead body that you just had to keep like trying to pretend to people he was all right. And they're like, oh, it's that guy. He's like, yeah, don't kick us out. We want to keep playing pool. Anyway, long story short, I came second in bowling.
Yay! Congratulations. And your friend, is he alive still?
Probably. Don't know, I haven't spoken to him since.
Oh, really? He could well be dead then.
Yeah, I'm sure someone would tell me. Probably. And I am Ralph.
And today we're talking about Chaos Magic, version 2. Our sources today are Advanced Magic for Beginners by Alan Chapman. I actually have the book physically in front of me. I decided to buy it because this is the book that I've read now two times.
Did you read it for the first Chaos Magic then?
Yes, but only got like a third of the way through. So it wasn't very... But I liked what I read of it.
I liked condensed chaos better. I felt like his sense of humour in this book annoyed me.
Yeah.
Where condensed chaos, I felt like I get that sense of humour a little bit more. But I still enjoyed it. I thought it was very, very bare bones.
Yes.
Of like, down this to the absolute basics. Here's what magic is. Here's what you can do.
Only 166 pages.
Yeah. Don't have any theories on why or what's happening. I'm not trying to explain it through fractals or anything, which is a big thing.
Oh, God, fractals.
Frozen fractals, or yeah, literally all I can think of. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
It really made me want to start practicing magic, which I will do.
Did you do any magic for this?
No, did you?
I did some sigils.
How did that go?
Yeah, good.
Did it happen?
I don't think so. But then I wasn't exactly, what's the word, like super recalling the outcomes. I think that's what it all boils down to. And it's basically the first thing he says in the book. It's like, make sure you have a magical journal and you write down everything that happens.
That's what all magic kind of, like, in every one of them, which I think makes me believe these people believe it more when they're like, have a magical journal, make sure you record all your results, because they clearly have done that themselves and then have felt like they've actually got results worth recording.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas us, well, we haven't even started writing shit down, so maybe it will happen if we actually do
yeah.
That, but sorry, guys, I think my mic was fucked. But we're back, hopefully, now. God, I hate this bloody thing. I just love that we learn about... I really like simulation theory, and I like law of attraction. Basically, it's kind of like a bring and share of all your favorite bits, and you just that's why I like chaos magic, because it's a bit like Libra Null said. It's like a buffet of all of the magical things, and you just bring what you want, and then you go ahead and do it in your own magical practice, in your own magical way, type thing, which I like, and it's such a nice framework.
Oh, do you know what one bit I like?
Yes.
Where it's going on about how you have remember your dreams and really start to become attached to your dreams. And then a lot of the techniques are the same that we used in our dream, whatever it's called.
Lucid dreaming
episode.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I'm actually becoming knowledgeable about this to the point where there's a bit in the book where I already knew what he was going to say.
It's very cool.
This is pretty fucking awesome.
It all feeds back in. It's great. I love that. So this... is at the end of chapter. Well, it's chapter. The title of the chapter is chapter 5, Method to the Madness. And then at the end of the chapter, there's a nice little table, and it says, like, all the things that you want to do and want to occur. So the outline. So number one, decide what you want to occur. Then the sympathetic method, my manager will resign. Noted sigil method, my manager will resign. And then basically it's a home, like, magical link method, nonsensical magical act, and the magical act of desiring my manager will resign. The only difference is in the magical act of desiring is I hope my manager will resign, which it wants you to get away from because it wants you to separate the idea of hope with a magical act, as in the magical act will make that thing happen rather than you hoping that thing will happen. So the second one is...
So again, to explain it, it's like if I was like, did a sigil, and it was like, I hope a woman will find me attractive. And then I went up, and then I started hoping a woman would find me attractive after the sigil. It would be like, hey, I did the magic, because yeah, because it said that you'd hope it, and then you hoped it. And you do hope it.
Yeah.
That was easy.
You've completed the thing, yeah. Rather than the actual magical thing that you wanted to happen, not happening.
Yeah.
So it also goes on in quite detailed length about you have to have a way of the magical thing occurring.
Oh, I found that interesting, but yes, that is something I always wondered about.
It must have a possible way of manifesting. Otherwise, you can't be like, I want to fly, and then just jump out of a window because you'll die. But like, because that's not technically possible within the realms of our reality.
Unless you're Neo.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you're Neo. But yeah, so he's kind of like, well, if you want to fly and you do magical act to fly, then you'll probably dream about flying, because that's the only way that it sort of can magically manifest to you.
Which is the first time in any of the magic books I've read that that's explained.
Yes.
And it also makes a lot of sense. So like, I was listening to the last podcast on the left episode about Aleister Crowley.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about how he was summoning nymphs for him and his girlfriend. Mm. And I was like, well, that's obviously he wasn't. Because that's fucking insane. But then if you like do it in that version, he's like, well, maybe they were both in the same similar thing, and they were like both really amazing at visualization.
Mm.
Like going into like a Gnostic state where you can visualize something really easily. And it's not like there were actually nymphs there. Like if I wandered in, I wouldn't be like, a nymph. But maybe because they were both like really good at visualizing, because they both had that kind of mind, that when Aleister Crowley was summoning them, he was doing a job where it was like, oh, I can help you and I can visualize the same thing so clearly that it's like they're there for both of us, and that's magic in a way.
Or maybe because they've had a lot of like random cult members / people who were just randomly staying with them for the sex cult.
Before the sex cult. Yeah, they were just in like Egypt and bored.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I was just thinking, like, you know, maybe they just have some, like, random women, like, wander into their camp.
But like, nymphs, I mean, like, small things with wings, not like...
Oh, I was thinking more of the Greek god nymphs, you know, like the water nymphs and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I was more thinking about, like, small little...
Oh, like fairies.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that changes things. Yeah, I think you're probably right then in that case.
But that kind of explained it to me in a bit, where I was just like, he's not actually summoning them. But they're both really good at visualization, and so that's how those things appear. And who's to say if they're not there or there, blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that was their way of like experiencing the magic, so then that's what happened. And then when you boil everything down to that, it's kind of like, is not everything just magic? Why don't we just live in our own minds the whole time?
Is anything magic, if that's it? Like, I'm really good at visualization, and I can pretend I'm talking to Hades, but I'm probably not.
But then it's like, how much can you convince yourself that you are? And at the end of the day, does it matter?
But I guess then it becomes down to results, doesn't it? That's the thing that I'd come back to, is you can really, really, really think you're talking to Hades, but then if you're like, hey, Hades, kill someone... And nothing happens, you might not have been talking to him. But say, like, you're like, oi, kill that dude. You know, that customer at the shop I work in who hit me with a cane one time. Kill him. And then he dies the next day. They'll probably be like, magic. Result achieved.
There we go.
Chatting to Hades, baby.
That's actually pretty fun if that would happen. Did someone hit you with a cane one time?
Yeah.
What?
Well, a walking stick, anyway.
What?
So I was like...
Salt.
Yeah, I know. He's a cunt.
Man.
I was like, I had something knocked. And I bent down to pick it up, and it was like spilt everywhere. So I was like, boop, boop, boop. Anyway, I was just about finishing up. And then he was like, ugh.
What?
And I turned and looked at him. I was like, what the fuck? And then he was like, mate, you're in my way. I was like, well, you can see why. There was like fucking little round things on
the
floor.
You're in my way. I'm just going to hit you with a stick.
Didn't want anyone to fall over. And you could see I was almost done.
What a fucking prick.
I ended up telling him to get out, and I said, don't come back in here. And he's like, you don't have the power to do that. I was like, yes, I fucking do. And then he left, and
it's,
I was like,
my fist.
Do I have the power to do that? I don't know, but
whatever. You've got it now.
Pretty sure he's dead now.
Well, good. He sounded like a piece of work.
I'm pretty sure he murdered his wife.
Really?
Because the
it doesn't surprise me. Because used to come in random people with sticks, you know.
Like, they used to come in and they'd buy, and I'm not exaggerating, 3 liter bottles of vodka a day.
Wow.
And he seemed so miserable. And then, like, he started coming in without his wife, and he was in such, for a psychopath, good mood. Like, he'd come in and be like, boop, 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 singing in the sunshine.
Wow.
What a glorious day. Just and the real one bottle of vodka for me.
The one psychopathic thing is that he was singing, Sing in the Rain, but it was singing in the sunshine. That's the real psychopathic thing here.
So, anyway, what was I going to have? Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah, the way that magical things can manifest.
But I do think, to the point where we're, like, making fun of being like, oh, anything's magic then. But that's why magic users, like, have a journal. Like, yeah. You have got to record results. Because anything can be magic up until you start recording results. And then if you record results, if the results take place, then it's magic. If not, it's just nothing.
Just could be coincidence or just what... Yeah, well, it could be magic, but... It's difficult to say.
Yeah, but that's why you have to record the results so you can like start to see.
I like the bit in here. There's two bits that I want to cover. One was the God thing. But actually, that just made me laugh because of the way he wrote it. But basically, it kind of goes back to the whole hope scenario thing and hoping something will work. Because then, like, he said that religion is sort of like magic. This thing we're calling magic, whether that be religion, getting guidance from a higher power, or doing chaos magic, whatever you want to call it, or messing with the fabric of the universe, whatever you want to call it. His thing was kind of like, well, people want something from God. They will pray to God for something to happen. And then the people who actually get that thing to happen will be the things like, God is on my side and God is going to give me some things. And other people who don't get what they want are things like, I hope God will give this to me. I really hope he will. Because again, like you said, the act of hoping is the magic. So by hoping, you've fulfilled the magic. So there's no further magic is required, you know?
Yeah, that was interesting. I don't know how much I buy into that. Because I do think a lot of people think God is like a lot of like backwater people in Florida.
I don't know so many of those.
yeah, possibly. But I think like they do think God is their fucking dog on a leash. Like, God, please kill the gays.
Right, yeah.
Because they don't necessarily think they need to be subservient to God. Because
God is my patron, and I can just...
Yeah.
Spread the word that I'm interested in spreading, and I'll just say it's religious, and therefore no one can harm me and my views.
Their idea of religion and Christianity is so twisted, they think, like, yeah, God is my personal sword to cut down on the...
Yeah. Rather than, I actually believe in this religion.
Yeah.
I will use this to weaponize my beliefs.
So I have a hard time feeling like that has a point. Because I don't think those people hope that it will happen.
No, but then I'm talking about people who are like, who are benevolent to their God. It will be like, oh, I hope God grants me this thing. Not like I will use this as a... You know, if extension of my hate. If
theory holds weight, then why aren't a bunch of gay people being cut down?
I mean, I guess they are in certain countries.
Yeah, that's true. And the whole New Orleans, like, tidal wave hurricane happened and a bunch of gay people died. Stop hoping about genocide for a certain sexuality. It's disgusting.
And just anyone in general, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, you can genocide.
No.
I don't. It's probably some people no one will miss.
No.
Zack Snyder, director cut enthusiasts.
Such a deep cut.
Yeah. No, do you know what was a deep cut?
What?
The fucking director's cut that he did the Justice League, which was also terrible. Idiot. Anyway. Stop asking for a... Look, I'm sorry. Stop asking for director's cut of every bad movie. Sometimes movies are just bad. There's no secret cut that makes them better. So every single movie that comes out that's bad nowadays, the director's always like, oh, well, you should have seen my cut. And you're like, what, your cut where you made the... the Joker had fucking grills and damage written in his forehead. What cut that you made would possibly make this okay? Sometimes movies are just bad. Just let them be bad.
No, mate, we'll fix it in post. We'll be fine.
And then you always have these hands like, release the cut, and you're like, this guy hasn't... Look at his IMDb. He's never directed a good movie. His cut isn't going to be anything. Just let it go. It's a fucking shit movie, and that's okay.
Look at this waveform. It's just pure rage for about a minute.
Oh, the whole idea of director cut movies that everyone's obsessed with every fucking movie now. There is no good cut of Madame Web. There is no good cut of fucking Morbius. They're just bad movies. Let them die. Jesus.
Love it. That was a rant I wasn't expecting today, but oh, I'm here for it.
I don't really know where it came from, but I had to get it out when I started.
It's just one of those things that was simmering under the surface.
Yeah.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah, sort of.
Anyway, I pretty much, did I say everything I wanted to say on that? Oh, there was a bit on tarot cards, and he said that, you know, a type of magic, divination, you can do by, like, putting out credit cards? You can get some money. No. Put out tarot cards and then say, I'm going to record this for a week. And the act of, I think it does all come back to recording. Need to get a recording journal of sorts.
I have one. You bought one for me.
I did.
Which I've never used, but no, I should start.
I've got so many empty notebooks that I like should definitely use something for. One of them should be magical. But yeah, so I thought that was really cool because like it was like, oh yeah, actually write down your tarot shit. Yeah. I even have a tarot journal. I should probably use that as well. But yeah, like, and actually look back on it and see if the things that you did predict actually came true. Because if they did, maybe it's magic, you know? Or maybe you need to change something within your practice in order to make that happen. But how would you know if you never, you know, if this something happens that you predicted and you were like, huh, and then forgot about it instantly, rather than writing it down and being like, oh, so that thing that I did a week ago, like, flip to the week ago and then see what you did and then try to recreate that in the way that will make it happen again so you actually get to a point where your tarot reading is more accurate because you're actually doing the things that make it come true or real.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting.
I agree. I also liked the bit where he was, like, talking to spirits and he was like, look, if you keep saying they're just a part of your psychology, it's never going to do that much for you because it's going to be boring. Like, if magic works, why don't you just accept it's magic?
Yes.
And you don't have to, but also by denouncing it, it's going to, like, be less special and it's going to be less interesting. Maybe just accept that isn't, you know, you are talking to spirits, even if you don't believe you are.
That's what I thought was really... That kind of leads into the modalities thing again. As in, like, you have to do it in a way that's interesting to you. Because if you don't, then, yeah, it's going to be boring. Or if you, like, oh, I do chaos magic. But it's not real magic.
No, but it's just a way of looking into my psyche.
Yeah,
then it's, and then you're like, oh, well, that's shit, though, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know how skeptical I am about these things. But when we're doing a podcast episode like this and when I'm reading about it actively, I'm trying to be, like...
Believe.
Yeah, I just want to get past the, oh, it's just rubber type. You know, I'm trying to be like, actually, no, like, what if this is real?
Yeah.
What if this is a way of manipulating the fabric of reality? How powerful would that be if that actually was true? Maybe if I believe in it, it will be.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, no, it's just all, in, it's all like, you know, mumbo jumbo.
I'm always convinced it's real when I start reading books on it.
Yes.
Like, especially chaos magic. But these people don't seem to have any...
There's no doubt in their minds. Not like, a shred.
And I don't believe they... Like, I don't think they make that much money off these books.
No,
like,
that's the thing. They're not churning these out on Kindle.
Yeah,
because they're like, oh, this will sell like hotcakes, you know? They clearly have their own,
I think,
like...
if you look at a graph of who's bought the book this year, there'd be about 5 people. 2 of them are us.
Yeah, like, it's true.
So I do think that these people just believe... Utterly, like,
yeah, absolutely.
And it's hard for me, I don't know, it's weird because it's like these people believe this so fully. Who am I to argue?
Yeah, and like when you're reading it, you're like, okay, yeah, makes sense. So then, you know, you're not like, sometimes I was doubting, but not in a way that I was kind of like, oh my god, this deranged fool, you know. I'm just kind of like, well, because there was a bit in it that I found quite, the duality of it was interesting because it was like the first, you get past like the first few chapters and it was kind of like, it tells you all about this, about hoping and not hoping and like, you know, creating something that can manifest in the real world and because of the thing that you experience and putting all this stuff in the practice, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes on to like, I think it is the lucid dreaming bit. Oh no, it's like ascending to the astral plane. And basically the whole first bit of the book is like, magic is what you make of it, like do it however the way you want, like it doesn't matter, it just has to mean the thing that you want to occur, and then that will happen. Like if there was no magical practice as such, then how beautiful would your magic be, because it's just an artwork that you can create for anything that means anything. I think I like the metaphor that he said. It was like, what think people will find me attractive, and it's like, okay, you could do a sigil for that, or you could be like, I'm going to lie naked and cover myself in jam and Polaroid pictures, and this means that I'm attractive. And that just put a strange image in my mind, which I quite enjoyed. And then otherwise it just was like, yeah, why? And then he said, like, how beautiful could your magic be if you could be anything?
That is not beautiful. Could you imagine trying to get jam? Have you ever got jam on you? If it gets into your hair, like, a little bit, it's fucking impossible to get off.
Yeah.
Covering yourself in jam.
I didn't say I'd
you'd
do
be
it.
Like, oh my God, I've been scrubbing for hours. This is so uncomfortable, and it's really pulling at my hair, and I'm sticky, and this is gross. What the fuck was I thinking? Oh my God, the ants are coming for me. No.
Not the ants.
Get away, ants. This isn't a fucking Woody Allen movie.
Do you want ants? Because this is how you get ants.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought, yeah, not that I thought the jam thing was, it just, I don't know, out of that book and all of the strangeness in it, that hit me as one of the more strange things. And I was like, this is strange and weird. I enjoy it.
There's this wrestler called Bret Hart.
Okay.
Back in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
And he's Canadian.
Mm.
And he would always call people, like, he was really self-serious, but he had this obsession with jam. And it, like, I think it's like a Canadian term. But when you're like listening to this really wrestler, he takes him really self-seriously. He's like, oh, you know, fucking Stone Cold. He's a jam-up guy. Like, I'm going to jam him up in my sharpshooter, though. Jam-up man. I respect him. Jam-up guy. He'd also use it where he didn't like someone. He was like, oh, he's a jammy guy. Jammy guy.
Yeah, I've heard jammy before.
But I always like that.
But
was
that just means you're very like yeah, like sickly sweet. Like,
that was jammy.
I think they're just making jam a word that isn't one. They're just
jam. And jam. You're just like, what is jam to you?
I think jam is just anything it's you want it to be. Yeah, yeah, it's just an insert but your word here.
He was so serious and deadpan, and then just yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, jam. What's the point in this?
Don't know, but this has been a jam-up episode, I feel.
Jam-up. I had a point. It had a point. Oh, yeah. It was like making art based on whatever the fuck it is that you wanted to do. And I had a point coming off of this as well, and I've forgotten what it was.
Did I jam up your thoughts?
You did. They're all jammed up now. Oh, yeah. That was it. So, yeah. So he goes on about the jam and the magic and the blah type thing. And it's like, so it can be anything you want. It's so fluid. It's so ridiculously, anything you want goes. Anything goes. And then the next chapter is talking about the astral plane and how there are hard and fast rules to it and how you can be attacked and psychic energy and you need to protect yourself.
Happens with chaos magic. Where there's like, oh yeah, you know, it's however you want it. And they're like, yeah, but.
Yeah, but
know.
These things are like hard and fast rules, guys, that you must understand. And it was so weird because that's something I would actually like to do is like out of body experiences and ascending to the astral plane and like interdimensional like chance you can have, you know.
I would like to do that.
Yeah, that's definitely one for this year.
Lucid dreaming episode, but
yes,
continuation on it, like taking it further, not just lucid dreaming, but.
Beyond.
Yeah.
Beyond the whole earthly means.
What goes beyond lucidity?
Apparently the astral plane. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know yet. We haven't done it. But yeah, I just love that about this book, how he was like so like loosey-goosey with everything and then be like, but no, let me tell you the facts.
Postmodernism is terrible.
Oh my God, yeah. I freaking hate postmodernism.
I don't even know what he thinks postmodernism is, because like the postmodernism is a literary theory about the works that were primarily starting to be created out of post-Cold War, like 1980s and...
He obviously means the magical.
But I don't know what that is.
Because who knows?
Postmodern was like my favourite like literary theory. And I read a lot of postmodern books.
Now you have to read a lot of postmodern magic
word,
books.
And I was like, I don't know what you mean by this.
No. Me neither. And I don't even have the literary knowledge that you do, so it just went over my head.
Like, I think in postmodernism, there's this thing called a simulacra. Simulacra. And it's this, so, like, oh.
Are you sure you want to go back to uni and do this?
So if you think about post-structuralism, it's the idea that there's no real meaning to language. Or, like, so if you think about structuralism, then the idea that an apple is an apple. Post-structuralism is the idea that we don't know what the true apple is, that we understand what our meaning of an apple is. So that's okay. Post-structuralism. But then post-modernism is the idea that there... So post-structuralism is that there's an idea that there is a meaning, but if you hear the word apple, you're not actually getting the meaning. The only way you can get the meaning is holding an apple in your hand.
Oh,
so
right.
Structuralism is you say the word apple, you mean an apple. Post-structuralism is you don't actually know what an apple is by the word. You're looking at an apple. Unless you're holding an apple. An apple is an apple. The word apple isn't
right.
An apple.
I get it.
Right.
I still don't understand the extent that you do.
Don't worry.
Okay, okay, go, go, go.
And then postmodernism is the idea that nothing is anything. Even if you are holding an apple, it's not a real apple. So, like, everything is a simulacra of itself. So, like, our idea, like, say you were in New York, you still wouldn't be in New York because what you are in is your idea of New York.
Oh.
Because that's been what's fed through you by broken media. Everything is broken.
Through your lens.
Yeah.
Only,
so you'd be seeing it only through your lens. So you'd, even the idea of being, I'm going to, like, New York, that's a simulacra of the idea of New York. But if you're in New York, you're still in a simulacra of New York because you're only seeing it through the idea that it's been presented to you and you're taking that with you. And nothing is anything. Like, there's nothing that really exists. There's all these ideas that we've got in our own head. So the way I can see him moaning about postmodernism is what he's saying is there's no idea of real magic. It's only ideas that are filtered through cultural lenses over and over again until they mean nothing.
Right. That actually makes way more sense. Thank you for explaining that.
I might be... I haven't gone to uni in a long time. I did these courses about 14 years ago, so I might be...
You explained that actually very well.
Totally wrong on this, but
No, I mean, if you did it correctly and that is what it means, then I understand.
But it might not be, okay. Is all I'm saying.
But that, I kind of guess, makes sense through the sort of magical vice as well, because like we were just saying, all of this is very subjective to the person and their experience of magic and the modular way that they see, the modal way that in which they see that through. Like, is this just a manipulation of time and space itself through, like, scientific means, or is this just a deep dive on our personality and on our subconscious? And
I think his problem is when he's saying postmodern, what he's saying is what, like, people are saying there's no such thing as magic, it's just this thing, where he's saying, no, magic does exist, and if you keep looking at it through this lens that it doesn't, you're not going to achieve any results,
right?
Because you're taking it and making it nothing. But, like, if you're being honest, like, maybe you are contacting with spirits and you take it through a postmodern lens and it's like, no, this is just a simulacra, this is just a thing that I think I'm talking to spirits, but it's not, because nothing is true and nothing means anything.
God.
Where he's like, well, no, you are, like, if you're succeeding in this thing, you're succeeding in this thing. Stop trying to make it mean nothing, because things mean something.
Interesting. I quite like that. So, this has been Chaos Magic again.
So, have they're doing it again? Do you believe it? Do you believe in it less or more?
More.
More.
Cool. I think. And it mostly is the whole point that I've been banging on about this whole time. It's like, I believe it more now because I know more things about other things.
Yeah.
And then those things of which I like and believe in, maybe I believe in them. Maybe I believe in them because they're interesting to me. But by using those things that are interesting to me in this, it makes the whole thing more interesting to me, and therefore I'm more likely to believe that it exists.
Yeah.
How about you?
I would say probably more than I did, but I would really like if I have a New Year's resolution 3 months into the year, I would like to start trying more practical things.
Yes, me too.
Even if I find it a bit silly and embarrassing, which is really the hardest thing for me to get over in my own head.
Yeah, we should go to a store and buy notebooks and then do a get a magical journal. I think that's us. That is the crux. And we haven't done that, and therefore can't really do it unless
they do
the thing.
He even has a go at people like us where he's like, oh, these academics who read books on magic and talk about it from every angle other than doing it, they're useless. And I'm like, hey!
Yeah, it's us! It's true, though. It's totally right. And I did want to try more out this time around. I did some sigils, but, like, I'd done sigils before, so it wasn't anything kind of, like, crazy like the jam thing. I'm not going to do the jam thing. But, you know, something like the jam thing that's less disgusting.
Yeah.
More like that would be fun. Because also, like, it is kind of like a weird expressionist art form that I'm sort of also into, that kind of weird avant-garde, like, abstractism of, like, what it could be. What could this weird thing that you have made mean and be?
At the end of the day, if it doesn't work, what's the harm?
No, exactly. You just made some cool art, I guess. Yeah. Exactly.
So I think that's this episode.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. What should we do next time? We have got a little list, actually.
I had something I wanted to do next time.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to read Aleister Crowley's Diary of the Drug Fiend. I also wanted you to read it.
Yes, that was one that was on the...
Because that Moonchild, to be totally transparent, Moonchild episode, for whatever reason...
Yes.
Did amazing.
Yeah, I don't know why. That was one of our most listened to episodes.
It's only 300 pages. So,
and it was when we had the shit mics.
Yeah.
So, like,
and
what?
I also only read... I didn't read the last 50 pages of the book.
People must obviously be really interested in that. So, yeah, we need to nail the next one.
I don't want
to
read it on my own, so I think you have to read it too. It's only 350 pages.
Okay.
So we'll do that next.
Cool. Have you got the book?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Have you already read it?
No.
Oh, all right then. Well,
We'll both read it for next time.
Yes.
And then we'll have a little book club episode.
Yay!
So, listeners, you have to read it too, unless you don't care about spoilers.
That's
for a
it.
Book that came out 100 years ago.
It's called it was 100 years ago. Well, let's do it. I'm interested. I don't know what's happening in it, so we may as well. And if you're not going to read it, hey, you get to experience it vicariously via us. Vicariously? Vicariously.
Yeah.
I don't know what vicariously is. What's vicarious mean? I don't know if it's worse.
I don't know. I think you're thinking of precocious.
Precocious, yeah.
Precocious, yeah.
You can read it precociously through us.
No, precocious means like an annoying kid who's like mouthy. So vicariously
like
is the right word. Like you can live through a person.
That's it, yeah.
So we'll do that next time. And then I think after that we were going to do Aleister Crowley's Tarot because...
Oh, yes, I'd like to do that.
Yeah. Credit to Josie Doig for the entrance... opening music
and the exit music
and the exit
it's
music
the same thing, but yeah, we love our music, and it's very thankful for Josie for doing it for us, because it's a brand thing now. It's a brand.
I love how like gothic and creepy it sounds, which is what I asked her to do, and then you got me being like, hello, I had a carrot come out my nose.
Yeah, I know. It's it feels like very dramatic for then what we go into.
The podcast would be more spooky when I gave her the rundown of what to create.
I think we're nailing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not spooky though.
No.
But yeah, no, I do love the entrance. I'm a wrestling fan. I keep thinking about it like...
The entrance music.
Yeah. The opening music is great, and the exit music. So thank you.
Thank you, Daisy.
I've been Ralph.
I've been Kaz.
And always remember, keep on journeying.
Don't stop. Believe
and hold on to the fear.